Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club. Hello everyone and welcome back to Frank Film Club. It's been a little while, but we are so excited today to be releasing a bonus episode and we're really thrilled that you have joined us. Today is a really exciting day because this episode is brought to you by MUBI. We are going to be chatting about One Fine Morning, which was written and directed by Mia Hansen-Løve. It stars Léa Seydoux and Pascal Gregory and it is available to stream exclusively on MUBI. MUBI is a curated streaming service dedicated to elevating great cinema from all around the globe.
I feel like when you go on MUBI, you know that you're going to be able to watch something which is really good even if you've never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Which you can't really do on any of the other streamers. But it's very much our taste, though. So we would like anything that they have picked to put on there.
Of course, but they're so good. I feel like I've learned so much about cinema from watching MUBI films. And they also have the greatest little write-ups about the directors and about like films they've done before. Quite often, they'll have a couple of a director's movies that are all out like a similar sort of time, so you can really get to know them.
Oh, we did a partnership with them for International Women's Day this year, and we picked five films each.
Yeah, all by women directors.
All by women directors on the MUBI platform, so if anybody's stuck on what to watch after they watch this one,
yeah,
then you can go and watch those.
Yeah.
I think that is the big thing, is that so many streaming sites are completely oversaturated that you spend longer choosing what to watch than you actually choose.
Yeah.
Watching a film. But with MUBI, you get a film every single day. So if you just like want to watch a film that day, just watch the film of the day. You won't regret it. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Easy. Done. But before we get into all of that, girls, ladies, tell me what you've been up to.
Well,
tell everyone what
we've just got back off a lovely holiday in Italy for a lovely wedding of our friend. Mm-hmm. Me and Maisie have just been on a little trip, haven't we?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was glorious.
Always love France and I'd never really spent much time in Italy and I always loved speaking French. And then now I've come back from Italy, I keep being like, grazie. See, ciao. Like when I'm just in like Peckham. But it's great.
Yeah. I mean, isn't your signature sign off ciao?
Kiss, kiss, so, ciao.
Yeah, kiss, kiss, ciao. So yes. There you go.
Suits you.
It was only right that you spent some time in Italy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But yeah, it was bloody fantastic. It was, the sun, the beach, the pool. It was great.
Stunning. And you're glowing.
You as are you.
You're both glowing.
How have you been, Han?
Yeah, I've been really good.
Have you been up to?
What have you been up to?
I've been getting pregnant, mostly.
Yeah.
I'm fully at the death. halfway through.
Growing baby,
not feeling sick anymore, which is really good.
Amazing. Very good.
And now just really happy to be here and just like living a normal life for the time being.
So exciting.
I love it. Yeah. So there's actually four of us on here.
There's
today.
Four of us.
Oh my gosh.
And I've just started to feel him. I keep calling it him. I don't know if it is, but I keep feeling him move. So yeah, he's got a voice today.
Yeah,
excited to be here.
Yeah, which is fantastic because I'm sure they will have plenty of opinions on.
Well,
this.
Well, they're my son, so they will have plenty of opinions on life and general things. Yeah,
so exciting. Okay, yeah. Well, great. Should we chat about One Fine Morning?
Oh, shall we?
One Fine Morning is a charming portrayal of love, loss, and contemporary womanhood. And it's by celebrated writer-director Mia Hansen-Løve, the director of Things to Come and Eden, and features a career-best performance from Léa Seydoux. And Léa Seydoux, if you don't know, was in James Bond and Blue is the Warmest Colour. Film premiered in the director's fortnight section of the 75th Cannes Film Festival on the 20th of May 2022. This film is about a young single mother who is raising an 8-year-old daughter and is struggling to take care of her father, who has been diagnosed with a neurodegenerative disease. While trying to secure a decent nursing home, she runs into a married friend and they begin an affair. What did you think? What did you know about this film before you watched it? Because I know you both watched it this weekend. Mm-hmm. And what did you know about Mia Hansen-Løve? Have you seen any of her other work?
Well, I had seen Bergman Island.
Great.
And really loved it. Really enjoyed the pacing of it and the characters in it. And I felt the same about this film. Mm-hmm. I watched it on a Saturday afternoon when I was on my own. My boyfriend and his little girl, who's not a little girl, were away for the weekend. And I just had such a romantic time by myself. I really, really enjoyed the watch. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the times with films which are paced quite slowly, when I'm watching them at home, I get really distracted on my phone. But there was something about the pacing, which we can get into, mm-hmm. which kept me in it. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really nice... Like, I just really enjoyed the viewing experience.
Yeah, quite similarly, I loved watching a romantic film. I mean, it's not all romantic. It touches on a lot of different things. But I haven't watched a film that involves, like, genuine romance for quite a long time. Mm. And so that, I was really like, oh, yeah, I'm up for a bit of this. I've got to say, I took a little minute to understand... that it was quite funny, and that there's a lot of humour in this film. And I think that was just because it's an international film and it takes me a sec to kind of catch on.
Find the tone.
But once I understood the tone, then I was like, oh, it's actually really funny, and I was laughing.
Yeah.
So that was good. But yeah, I really loved it.
I'm really thrilled to hear that. Yeah, I think it was just such a pleasing watch and something that... I mean, we all love, and I feel like this film just depicts quite a complicated love story in such a beautiful way, and I found the performances and the portrayal of, like, love to be really vulnerable and honest, and yeah, I think that is something that always transcends language and, yeah, has been done so beautifully in this film. I'd love to start out talking about... the complexity of this female character. Like, this is a film kind of about the other woman, but we really just get to see into the snapshot of her life. What did you guys kind of think of Sandra and also Léa Seydoux playing a role like this?
This is like an incredible role for any actor to play, because there's no judgment, there's no repercussions that we see, there's no... there's no context as to, like, what happened to her husband or anything that's happened before that point, what a relationship was like with her father, what a relationship was like with Clément. Mm-hmm. It's just about what's happening right now and just through her eyes. And there's so much in what she's doing. She's incredible. Mm. That was my favourite part about it, was that I've never seen a film which was about an extramarital affair which didn't, like, have any judgment behind the woman, especially.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, you're just seeing the passion and actually, like, a sympathetic look of, like, how that could be, especially when you put it next to the fact that she is caring for somebody and this is, like, bringing her back to life. There's nothing, but as an audience, you're not, like, unless you've got some, like, deep-rooted things which come up obviously because you're triggered, there's no judgment on that at all. And I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this performance, Léa Seydoux, I mean, this is something that Mia Hansen-Løve has kind of spoken about a little bit, and also Léa. She's kind of been known for being, like, very glamorous, very... I think she's been in, well, I mean, these aren't my words, but she's sort of been sexualized by a lot of male directors, and she's been a bit of a fantasy, and she's, you know what I mean, like, she was a Bond girl, and like, and of course that kind of comes with a certain like aesthetic and whatnot. But I think what Mia Hansen-Løve really wanted to do, and what she did do, was kind of bring Leia into a light that was just way more grounded, vulnerable, real, honest, open. And so, as you say, when you see her at the beginning of this film and she's like just completely overrun and exhausted, you really kind of connect with her, and then you start to see her kind of like blossom into, you know, a woman who is much happier and more whole in this.
No, also I really enjoyed seeing her as just like a normal woman.
Yeah.
Normal. That, I don't know that that's quite, maybe that was a bit of a rubbish adjective to use, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
A very different character to what she's been seen as before. And yeah, I think that's probably a lot to do with like the fact that she, I don't know that she has been directed by women before. She's
right.
been mainly directed by men for sure.
Yeah.
But then also on the what you were just saying about looking at an affair in that kind of way, I hadn't really thought about that until you just said it, but they could have so easily like brought Valerie, the wife, into it, and it could have been like women against women, and love that it didn't even touch on that at all, and it was never her problem, because no, it's like his problem. But they didn't even need to get into that anyway, because it's just like, we're meeting them now, people change throughout their lives. It's just like,
yeah.
It's
so often blamed on the other woman as well, and like the like a lot of times in things that you see depicted in affairs, and even real life, I feel like it's always like, who's the other woman? And like, let's just think about what the man's actually done.
So true.
Exactly.
So that was really nice.
So I would love to talk about pacing a little bit. And you said that you've also seen Bergman Island and that you love the pacing of that film. I think we're all quite sensitive to that, in especially in a film that's like, just like feels like a lot of space and really like gets to know people and like analyze people just like in silence or whatever. So how do those two films compare, and why do you think the pacing works? Like, what do you think it is about these films that keeps you there?
I think she's just really good at writing characters that aren't judgmental towards them. They're not trying to like say anything about them. They just feel like fully formed characters.
Yeah.
I don't know much about her as a director, to be honest. Like, I don't know where her inspiration comes from, or like how she writes, because she writes everything.
She does. And actually it kind of checks out, because so much of this comes from her real life. And she said like she wishes she could make films that were less linked to herself, because it's like, you know, you feel like you're putting it kind of out, but there's the only thing that she knows how to do. And so I think a lot of these people are real people. And I think her mum, she writes about a lot, but her mum has always been like incredibly supportive of her work and has never sort of felt like, you know, concerned by that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of her work, this One Fine Morning is actually, she said, like the most close to her life, and inspired like, yeah, the most heavily by what she's known and done.
Because of her
father died 2 months after she finished the script, and around the same time Hansen-Løve discovered that she was pregnant. So it's like she wanted to write about the vertigo of feeling delayed grief and new love at the same time, and it is the depiction of what it was like to feel those very contradictory emotions. Like, yeah.
Wow.
And that was actually happening while she was writing it. So I think she was writing more sort of about her father, who had suffered from a neurodegenerative condition. But yeah, then obviously life imitates art and art imitates life. It kind of has that funny way of going.
Yeah.
I don't think any of her characters are ever like dramatized or sensationalized. They're just really quiet, but not for quiet's sake. It's like, just they're just very human.
Yeah.
She's a very good writer.
Because if you think about all of the characters in this film, I can't really pinpoint who's an antagonist.
Right.
Because you do sympathise with all of them, and like, even, I don't know, no one's really doing anything wrong. Like, everyone has their reasons for whatever they're up to.
Yeah.
And that is kind of what I think in life, like, people do have reasons, and like, that's how people justify doing bad things sometimes. Some people are awful, but yeah, but like in this film I'm like, yeah, that's quite mad that she's managed to write a really believable film. Maybe that is why it's believable, because these people, they're not just writing, she's not just writing bad characters for the sake of drama.
Right. And that's such a skill, I think. I mean, she as a person must really be able to just get a good reading of people and just really be able to see them. Because I think, like, I don't know, if I'm ever trying to encapsulate, so if I'm journaling or whatever, like, it's so hard to not just write from your own emotional standpoint of, like, how it made me feel and how it ruined everything for me, and really be able to just, like, open up the channels, you know, and, like, see everything and, like, form everyone. And I guess that's why her mum, like, is so supportive of her work and doesn't feel, like, attacked or whatever, because, like, she's got this incredible skill to be able to, like, empathize with absolutely everyone. What an incredible woman.
And see people as they are, without without putting her own interpretation of them. That's what they say about if you're trying to portray a character who is the antagonist or inherently bad, that you should find the, like, their reasoning and the humanity in them just for yourself, so that you know where they're coming from. But I feel like that's already there. Like, the characters, the actors playing these roles probably didn't need to do that too much. Yeah. Like, you could say, like, in another film, Clement would have been. Because he came and went. Like, he did.
That's so true.
Yeah.
But he's not shown that way.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't feel like he was shown that way.
Yeah. Because he does...
mess her around.
But also you're like, I get why he needs, and she gets why he needs to do it, and it's still shit. And then even, like, her mother, she's, like, got a bit of sass in her, a lot of sass in her, but she still sticks around and helps her ex-husband. And it's like, there's just, like, they're just very incredibly believable characters. Mm-hmm.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We've all been in love. I feel like in French cinema, it's always just done incredibly well. What did you guys think of these two actors, Léa Seydoux and Melville Poupeau, and what did you, like, how did they make you feel? Did you believe them?
I believed them. I thought they were incredible together. Like, from the start, it was just like the chemistry was amazing. When she leans in for that kiss, which she definitely did lean in for, I also loved that she was the one to lean in, and it's not always just like the guy.
They
were just incredible together.
I really like their chemistry. The bits of them in bed where they're lying around, you know, afterwards, that for me is like what it's like falling in love, when you're just like messing around, lounging around. And I think we see it so much, especially on American TV and films, where it's like like pillow fight and stuff. And it's like, it's not like that. Like, it's like silly, but it's also like
it just felt like it lingered a little bit longer on what that actually feels like. The French, you just do, don't they? It's the passion, and they're just very good with love and sex and everything that they show.
So there's something that I really wanted to chat with you both about. I was reading an interview from Mia Hansen-Løve, and it was about intimacy coordinators and sex scenes and that kind of thing. And she said that for her, intimacy coordinators aren't necessary, and that she doesn't use them and she's never used them. And if she were forced to use one, that she would rather just take the scene out than do it that way. And it kind of got me thinking because, I mean, I don't think she's ever run into any problems. I don't think any of the actresses that she's worked with have ever run into any problems. And I think that, like, you know, she's been very protective of those people. And so I just really wanted to know what you thought about that.
I get what she's saying and, like, why she must feel that
she
it's different with her, which maybe it is. But, like, yeah, it's like there can't really be any exceptions because then somebody says, oh, but it's fine with me as well, and then it's not. I just don't think that's a thing that you should have exceptions on.
I think, like, could it be better, and, like, could people work more freely and, like, make scenes that are beautiful, you know, without there being, I don't know, complications? Like, yes, but this is an incredibly new role and we're all still sort of like figuring that out, because I don't think that intimacy coordinators are the problem.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. But I do understand what she's saying. Like, she feels like she has that really close relationship with her actors. And so who better to speak to than, you know, like each other, sort of thing, which I think in an ideal world is like the relationship that you have with all of your directors.
I think there's quite a few things with French cinema, isn't it? Adèle Haenel recently left the industry because she wasn't happy with practices with French cinema.
Right, and it's like you have to acknowledge that when you speak about these things. You can't just speak about your own experience. Like, we're past that now. Like, this is a huge problem. We're all responsible at making our industry safer and better. And things like this can sometimes just, can do more harm than good. Mm.
I suppose with intimacy coordinating being quite a new thing, maybe it's that, like, I don't know if she has had experiences with it, but maybe she's had bad experiences with it, in that, like, it is too much, and that hopefully as the role develops and people are more used to it being just a thing, that just like a standard, then directors can work with them in the different ways that they need to, and she could make it more of a or people like her could make it just a better relationship where it's less like, no, you can't, maybe it's been a bad
right.
It's the same thing with chaperones. People see intimacy or directors can see intimacy coordinators as like policing their process. But it should be, I think, it should, maybe not with chaperones because they're not part of the creative process, but intimacy coordinators are really massive part of the choreography of performance. So, like, it should be seen as a collaboration, as you would with any other HOD, to get the lighting right, to get the casting right, to get the camera right.
Of course, like, in the way that stunt teams rehearse for, like, you know, they get everything sorted. They have all of these previs with, like, the stunt actors and the da-da-da-da. So it's all figured out. So as you're not on the day going, like, so I wonder how we're going to do this massive fight scene.
Yeah.
We already know. We've been planning it for ages and everyone knows what it's going to be, and it's methodical and it's thought out. And then all you need to do is add, like, the drama. Mia Hansen-Løve speaks endlessly about her strong connections and relationships with the actors that she works with on screen, and it really shows in all of her films, and this one particularly. I think her and Leia work together beautifully, and I think she even loved working with Melville, and I think there were times when I think she was quite hard and tough on him, but, like, it really brought out an amazing performance, and, like, they've both spoken about, like, you know, how beautiful that was. And so, yeah, I can imagine her wanting to keep her actors, like, very safe on set. When she was writing this film, fun fact, although it's based very heavily, like, on her own life, she always was writing it with Léa Seydoux in mind.
So
so lovely.
Yeah, she was correct to do so.
Yeah.
I wonder if when she approached her, if it was in the writing phase or if it was after she had got it funded, or if she got offended because she was attached.
Gosh, that is a great question that I wish I knew the answer to.
Lea Seydoux is just absolutely perfect for this film. I think they're all really perfectly placed, actually.
Yeah. I've got to say, the daughter, Lynn. Yeah. I thought she was incredible. I thought she was hilarious. Yeah. Like, just, like, really silly. And their relationship together, the mother-daughter relationship there. But also then with Clement as well, like, just going back to the relationships in general, I suppose, but the casting just, like, matched those wonderful characters.
I also very much like to see, this is why I love the pacing as well, and how it kept going back between her as a carer and going to the care homes, and then her as this new lover and her as a mother, that I think especially something that I'm thinking about at the moment, actually.
Yeah, motherhood.
Is that, like, when you become a mother, I think, in my perspective, it's been, you become a mother and then that is really, like, the most of your identity, actually. And that's not what this film shows us at all. She's got so much, and you see parts of her job as well. Like, she's just this, like, colourful, fully formed thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, that part of your life when you're caring for your parents and you're a kid again that just wants your parents, but at the same time you've then become a parent of them and a guardian for them, and then kind of that, what that just does to, like, you, how difficult that is already to, you know, be losing your parent. And then, yeah, really interesting. I was actually speaking about to my mum about this. She's lost both of her parents a couple of years ago, but I just asked her the other day. It was really emotional, and, like, obviously it's, like, kind of sounds like a silly question, but I said, do you miss your parents? And then she just, like, looked right into my soul and was like, every day.
Aww.
And you just think, like, I don't know, that's maybe just a really selfish thing of me. And then she was talking about her mum, and it was so beautiful, like, my mum talking to me and all the things that she wishes she could say to her mum, and all the things that she could then say to me that her mum couldn't. It was just really, this film really kind of, like, highlights the complexities of womanhood, like, as we kind of said at the beginning, and all of those different stages of your life that come into, and wrapped up in this beautiful love story that, you know, the circumstances are kind of strange, but because of, like, this very real journey that Sandra's going through, it just sort of, like, starts to resonate with you as a woman at any stage in your life.
Yeah. And not only a carer for her dad and her daughter, but she's also just, like, navigating her own love life and, like, whilst working. And, yeah, it's... She's a really incredible character.
Mm.
And just not really one that we've seen at all before.
This film really hit a nerve of something that I feel all the time. Not that I'm in any of these not that I'm in any of these complicated circumstances myself right now.
Mm.
But there's, like, a forward motion. Like, as we said earlier, it's not dramatized. Like, she has all these things going on, but she's never, like, reacting to it in a way that feels like she's on an emotional breakdown. She's just, like, always pushing through and always trying to go through. And I think that's what women have to do a lot of the time is juggle and push through and make sure that they're keeping everything afloat.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's a breakdown at some point, but you don't get to see that, just, like, constant pushing and trying to get through it.
Yeah, I was reading Robert Eggers' review of this film, and he loved it, which is great. But he was saying exactly that, like, this is a woman who has so much responsibility that we don't see the sort of, like, tropey moment of, like, the big breakdown where you just, like, reject all responsibilities and you've had enough, which, like, it does seem to be, like, the climax of a lot of films about women. Like, love, because sometimes I do that. But sometimes you just can't, and you got to grow up, and you got to, like, get your life in line. And I love that about this film. She just continue. Because actually, that's not life all the time. That's, like, a romantic look at, like, if you just throw everything down and say, like, I've give up, then, like, you really will just make everything worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny that that's sort of
Yeah.
Yeah. He said the same thing, Han.
Me and Robert.
Yeah. What are you like? But that reminds me of how I then felt when it ended, because I was quite like, oh, you know, that very last shot and then it stops and then the credits come up. Mm. That's how a film ends. But I was like,
I know it's been a while, Larry.
But I was just like, I was quite like, oh, I actually hadn't expected the film to end just then.
Yeah.
But it did. And I was also like, no, that was kind of a perfect place for it to end, even though I hadn't expected it to. But I think that was the reasoning that I felt that was probably because we hadn't had that tropey massive breakdown. It was more just like a gradual thing, and it's that she was getting to like this next stage.
Yeah.
And yeah. What were your guys' thoughts on the ending?
Yeah. Do you think they're going to be together forever? That was kind of how it... I don't know.
I don't know, you know. I don't think he's reliable.
True. Doesn't give off the most reliable vibes.
And I also think that she's okay on her own.
That's true. Right. But I think that's probably why it did end there. And that's like, okay then. Because it was like, you know that she's going to be fine. Because she's been fine this whole time.
Yeah.
She's great.
I did love like when they do finally see each other again. And
when they get back together.
Yeah, when he finally does call after he is like, you know.
Yeah.
More available. I was like, it was so cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I loved that ending. Couldn't tell if I was like, is this what real life does? Is this a romantic look at something? Or are we just used to seeing people like not being and things not working out? But I was into it. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So glad that her dad got to meet him too. In the right circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, because she's like spoken about him, but yeah.
Yeah. I really loved seeing this film, which is like, it's written so subtly, like everything that it's like bringing up is done so well, but so subtly, nothing's on the nose. Mm-mm. And I think, well, I know what we're finding with when we're doing notes on scripts and working with producers and getting notes and it's quite often trying to make things more obvious for the audience, but like audiences are smart. And I think what Mia is doing is like really being like trusting the audience to get it and to be clever.
Yeah.
And just like understand. And it was just quite, I don't know. It's really good to see. Cause it makes you be like, well, it made me be like, oh no. Okay. What we are writing is actually incredible. So yeah. Look forward to it.
Things that we're making are amazing already.
So that's a note that is regularly passed around, is no, this is too subtle, you need to make it more
they
obvious.
Don't say that, they just ask questions that the answers are already there.
Yeah, it's like if you actually look at this and give it a sec, but then you understand.
If you had that question and you were reading this script with that question, tell me what you think the answer would be. And they'll let you know if it's wrong. And if it's wrong, we'll go back to the drawing board.
Right.
But do you know what I mean? It's like those answers where it's like, make this more... And what they want you to do is make it more obvious. But it's like, that's not... I don't think that's right.
Mm. Audiences are clever.
Yeah, they're clever.
I wonder if you could, like, put it in and then, like, take it out. Like, could put it in for the purpose of
being...
That's
now what we're
finding.
This
is what happens, yeah. Read a script, love the script. Read the shooting draft. Oh my god, everything's been really crazily overexplained. Like, why are we doing this? You start shooting it and you're saying lines of dialogue, like,
pull it back.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's like you're just, because you have to say everything and explain everything in every scene so as the story can be told. And then you watch the edit and you realize, oh, they've cut all of those lines out because it's obvious. Obviously we're talking about her or him or whatever.
That's really interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is just part of the process, but there is that terrifying moment where you think, why is the script now becoming something that feels quite tonally different to what we were trying to make?
Yeah. Becomes a manual.
Right. A blueprint, like a full-on...
Yeah.
Like when you're on the airplane and you've got a whole... what to do when the plane's going down. Paul Lever.
They are in love. They are in love.
Yeah, she loves him, but she hasn't told him yet.
Put a line in where she looks in the mirror. I maybe might tell him that I love him.
I don't know. Exactly that.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Good. Fabulous. Well, it was such a pleasure to do an episode with you both again. And it was so good to be able to chat about this film. And I'm glad that you liked it. And I'm glad that we had so much to say, so much to dive into.
Yeah.
But for anyone listening to this episode, do know that One Fine Morning is now streaming exclusively on Mubi. And you can try Mubi free for 30 days at mubi.com/Frank Film Club, guys. We've got our own little like handle now. And you can get a whole month of great cinema for absolutely free. So go and do that. Watch One Fine Morning, and then reach out to us on socials. Reach out to Mubi at Mubi UK, us at Frank Film Club, and let us know what you thought. And we'll see you again soon.
Wonderful.
Great. This episode was brought to you by Mubi, a curated streaming service dedicated to elevating great cinema from around the globe. With Mubi, each and every film is handpicked by their team of curators, so you can explore the best of cinema anytime, anywhere.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.